God, thank you, Patty. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Woo, I feel the power. Let's go to something very, very, very familiar. Luke 6:38. And while you're on your way over there, I want to sing happy birthday to someone very, very important to this congregation, Mr. Bill. His birthday's tomorrow. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bill. Happy birthday to you. Whoop, whoop. I understand Deb has some chocolate for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bill used to could eat some fudge, I'll tell you that. You know, we were all raised together, and it was he and Ron would eat the banana pudding before the lunch when we'd have our picnics around here. They went for it. Amen. Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you. Did you get that? Give. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So once you give, things start moving. Something starts reciprocating once you give. Something starts moving. It becomes your employee. It's starting to move around for you. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. So zero times zero is, and much more times more is too much. And so as givers, we understand this. So I just call this word, it's why I always say this word over you, because I know that God is interested in us being rich toward him, not serving a personal wealth, but being a pipeline of the kingdom of God, which also you're blessed while you're connecting and flowing. We talk about the kingdom a lot and God's way of doing things, and the way we get God involved in our finances is just to simply be involved in his finances. We all get that. We know that's really easy. We just participate. We tithe to him, which gives us the right to the kingdom riches, and then we give or we sow seed to create the harvest. And so that's the way that we make our demand on what's already ours in heaven. It releases it to earth as you sow a seed. Sowing is a faith tool. It causes you to expect. So we give so we can expect to get. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's Bible. Yes. When daddy sows the seed to mama, you expect after that, right? You're expecting to have a baby. Something starts growing, right? It's the same principle. You sow a seed in the ground. We just sowed a bunch of seeds out on our little farm area thing, and they've all come up. They've all just come up. Praise the Lord. And so the harvest shall begin. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How many asparagus spears have we raised so far?
Over 600 this season.
Praise the Lord. Hey, more can't outgive God. Just plant the seed. It happens. So now just the way that you make sure that you're not serving self, because you're going to be so blessed and your cup's running over so much that, you know, you have a lot of nice things. Everything's good for you. It's very simple. Just to make sure that money is not your God is real easy. Always tithe and give. You're like, well, you know, I don't have enough. Well, then money's probably your God.
Oh, wow.
If you don't have enough, I hope it didn't hurt your feelings, but I'm telling you the truth. See, if you're lacking and so you don't want to tithe, you don't want to give, it's probably because you're worrying about money. So money then would be your God. And then they're, you know, people that have too much don't worry about that. They don't worry about that. They know what's God's and what's theirs. So what you have to do is break the cycle. You break that cycle and you make a quality decision to do what's right. It starts flowing. And I'm telling you, it's been working for a long, long time for me. So, you know, the word says shall be. So that means you can count on it. You can. Now, if you're either going to believe the word or not. It said it shall be. It will happen if you do it. And the only reason it wouldn't be is because of a message that Jesse Wallace is going to preach to you pretty soon about capacity. You have to build your capacity. You build your capacity to receive. And you do that by meditation on the Word and believing this Word right here that I just told you, that if you give, it will be given to you. It will move. Praise the Lord. Sow your seed. Name your seed. Give. You know, you can, if you, any way you want to do it, if you want to give a teaspoon seed, you will get some 30, 60, 100-fold teaspoons back. If you want to give a dump truck load, you're going to get some 30, 60, 100-fold dump truck loads back. Amen. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll receive. You can't outgive God, but, you know, the measurement's up to you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, coming into our pockets in Jesus' name. We bless the tither today, the one who made the first fruit holy. And we thank you, Lord, that because you did that, they did that, that today they're first on your list in Jesus' name. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, brothers. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Thank you, Lord. God is good. If you'd like to give via text message, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link. I don't know why I read it. I know it by now, don't I? But praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Lord. But that's the easiest way to do it. Most of us do it that way. But checks are good. Cash is good. God likes it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for Salvador. He came out and tried to tackle a tree for me yesterday. He did good. It was like he and that tree had a tussle. But I'm telling you, he's winning. I'd also like to thank him for the new steps back there. Be sure and see them. They are above and beyond beautiful. Amen. So we thank you for that. Amen. It's good to have good brother givers in the house. Let's go to Psalm 36:7. Title of the message is We Shall See Light. Psalm 36:7. You're going to get something good out of this today if you choose to. And then you could actually take it home with you and your life could change. Amen. Psalm 36:7. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. I thank you, Lord, that you'll say everything you want to say, do everything you want to do. I thank you, Lord, that you make things right. You make things good. You bless in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. That's good. I don't see river of trouble. I see river of pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. So how excellent is your loving kindness is really how precious and rare is your hesed, your covenant obligatory love. That's what it's saying there. How precious, how rare that is. But God is hesed. He is that kind of love. Because of this never-changing, always-responding hesed love, we can put trust in the shade and defense of his wings. We can stay under that. We can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place of protection. It's a place of ease. We can bathe, soak, and even get drunk in the abundance of his house. We can drink of the river of his pleasures. We were just doing that while we were worshiping. So it got very bright in here, and people received their healing, and people received from him, because when you worship him, he can't help but give back. He just gives back. He just pours out. He just pours out on us. You're so good, God. For in him there is a properly dug source of spring-fed river. A properly dug source of spring-fed river. And in his clear light of illumination, we shall see clearly and be illuminated. We get revelation. We see it. We have it. Amen. So this is a song of David, and it's a contrast between the wicked who lack fear in God and then the faithfulness and preservation of God himself. We just read the God part. But David spent a moment taking a few glimpses into the chaos of evil, and then he moves into the blessed depths of the goodness of God and his hesed toward us. That's what's going on here. So now we've started talking about the river on Wednesday nights. There is a river of life flowing from the throne of God through heaven down into us right now. Spiritually, right now, that's happening. We have a river flowing in us into the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. So there's life and light in us right now. See, if you have something trouble in your body, if you'll just release light and life, just say it all day long. The light and the life of the Zoe life of God. Just say it all day long and release that from your spirit into your body. That's what John G. Lake did. That's why he was so powerful. And it began to ooze out his pores, and the plague couldn't even get him. But if you'll just think about the light and the life of the Zoe, you'll come through. I like that song we say, that song that Jesse was singing. There's nothing too dark. There's nothing too dark. There's nothing too hard. You'll live and not die. You'll move forward in the things of God. So it has a spring. It has its spring in God, of course. Let me say this. You remember Eden? Remember Eden had four courses coming out of its rivers. You remember that? Think about that. But they all came from one source. So there's all of these streams coming from one source. And man, when we get together, we are a flood. We are a flood. If we want to be, we can be a flood. Praise the Lord. So I just believe, you know, like never before, it's time to engage. And I believe we're all doing that right now. We're engaging in the presence of God. I want to go somewhere with you, and I just pray that you'll get this. It's not hard. It might be a little new to you, but I want you to think about it. Some of you heard some of this, but I heard Sister Billy say one time, she said that it's good if you can live near what you like. Yeah. Now, that's a spiritual thing. And she made this statement, I do well by water. So she has in the past, and I think she's pretty close to one right now, but she's lived on a lake or on a river, and she does well by it. Some people do well by land. Some people want to play in the dirt. Amen. I like both. I'm glad we kind of get to have both. We're all blessed because, you know, a river runs through here. Glory to God. I've never lived in a place where a river didn't run through it, so I'm blessed. You know, get this statement now. God likes to set us up in places that cause us to thrive. Cause us to thrive. And so it's a good thing if you can live by what you like, work on the assignment that you have passion for, and receive inspiration by what you look at. Isn't that true? I'm going to make that statement to you again. It's a good thing if you can live by what you like, work on the assignment that you have passion for, and receive inspiration by what you look at. Amen. Amen. I had a moment while we were worshiping when the throne came up in Nina's song, I believe. And I get into the words that she's singing and what's going on there when they're singing these songs. And so I went to the throne room, and I was looking around in there in my imagination. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord laugh at me because he reminded me of a church I've been in Rome. Giovanni Laterne, St. John Laterne, us four walked in there, and I began to cry when I saw it because of the majesty. I can't tell you how tall the ceilings were, but did you know that even over all our discussions, everything we've ever said about him, I never realized they built those churches like throne rooms. It was in their hearts. They wanted to be inspired even by what surrounded them. nowadays, you know, here we have our strip center and we put churches in them. But in those days, which we're headed, we're going to have architectural evangelism. We're going to build a beautiful church. Okay? But in those churches, they built them so you would look up. They built them so you would look up. So it's so important to surround yourself with things that cause you to look up. And I'm going back there. I already took my son and my grandson there and my daughter-in-law, and I'm going to go back again there. But I've been in St. Peter's. I've been in a whole lot of those places, and St. Mark's and Venice and some cool ones up in Tuscany and stuff like that. And they're all just beautiful, beautiful. But I don't get tired of it, because even though they're not, quote, my bag of religion, I can see what they meant when they wanted to worship God. Praise the Lord. And so it's good if you can do that. I think we're people around here that kind of like nature. And so we could probably have church outside and be happy. But you know, what you like, your assignment, and what you look at is so important. And this is true for the soul, even more true for the spirit man. And so pets do that. There's an old saying that the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a girl. Women love horses. And there's just something about them that is an attraction to them. And there's things like that that you pick up on if you pay attention to it. And I'm not going to say anything about cats today. So now, because I saw Macaroni whispering. Let's see if I was going to bring it up. Now, I've been to some places, okay? I've been to some places, Rachel, if you get that ready. And some of them are beautiful places in America. But there's just this one. If you'll put it up on the screen here. That place is a national park. Anybody know what it is? That's Death Valley. And it was, when we were there, it was 115, 116 degrees. And this right here is down there at the lowest point. I took a picture of this instead of showing y'all the sign so you could see better. It is hot. There was a guy out there with a frying pan with eggs cooking in it, just holding it like this. That's how hot it was there. It was so miserable. I do not do well by that. And I'm not going back. Click. Now that. This is St. John, U.S. Virgin Island. I've been there 5 times. You take everybody you love here. So get ready. Y'all have to go. This is Trunk Bay. And it's that beautiful. And I do well there. So I'll go back there. Click. This is Yellowstone. This is a waterfall in Yellowstone. And Toby and Megan and Carter and Deb were standing on that place right there. I don't know if that's them or not. But these are just pictures from my phone. I will go back here. Now, you see what I'm talking about? You get the, now, somebody probably looked at that desert and went, oh. I'm like, what? But these places, you know, you're driving along here and there's a mama bear with 2 cubs. Then there's these buffalo walking along next to you. And then there's elk running everywhere. And my son has these eagle eyes. He says, Mom, see that goat way up on the top? I'm like, where? And then there's a big fat moose out in the, I mean, they're all of this stuff that God created is there. And then in that blue water that we saw earlier, there's all these colorful fishes. And there's colorful birds. And there's some chickens around and stuff like that too. But there and the donkeys. But that place is amazing. So we do good. Right now you're thinking about what you like. And so if I compared these, it would be easy for me to pick. So what I'm saying to you is, life is choice driven. I do not have to go back to Death Valley. And I'm not. Okay? I can choose, and I, listen to me, I can move into the place I want to be. Okay? So in thy light, we shall see light. That's where I want to be. Okay? Now, spiritually, we can get pictures that help us decide what is best, and that's what I was doing. Those are pictures that help me. They may not have helped you. You might like something different. But those pictures help me decide what I like best. Now, you can get pictures in your spirit, in your soul, to let you and know and understand what you like best. It should be easy to see, but sometimes we don't. So, I want to back up to Psalm 36:1, and I want to show you something that will help. This is, as I told you before, it's a comparison, but I want you to see something here that I think will help you today before we go. Praise the Lord. So, Psalm 36:1 there. An oracle within my heart. Remember, this is David, okay? He's thinking about this. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. So we would say there's no honor. And David's meditating on how the wicked see themselves, okay? Verse 2, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until iniquity be found to be hateful. So they lie to themselves. They don't see their own faults, so they're not sorry for what they do. Got it? Verse 3, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. So he left off being wise and to do good. So they're telling these lies, and they don't have the sense to live right. They just don't have a sense about them that they need to live right. They can just do and think whatever they want to. Verse 4, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. I want you to keep that in your thinking for a minute. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. So he doesn't despise evil. He plots trouble while in his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. And he doesn't even reject evil. Okay? Now, what are you thinking right now? What are you thinking? That sorry enemy of God. I hope they get what's coming to them. Because I'd never be that wicked. So this is a person who won't honor God, can't see their own faults, lies to themselves, and they don't care that they're wrong. They're just wicked. Well, who's wicked? Is that the same as enemy or foe? Or not? See, that would be a good study. What is the difference in all of this? And who is good? Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? Some of you may not be old enough to remember this, but most of you have seen or heard or know historically of a man named Al Capone. You remember Al Capone? We remember him well. He's an American gangster in organized crime. Okay? Now, there's an old-timer who lived across the street from his mother. And every Friday night, she would notice that there was a guy with a big machine gun standing out in the driveway guarding the house while Capone had dinner with his mother every Friday night. Her comment was this: any person who will go have dinner with their mother on Friday night must really be a good person. That's what she said. And then there was a little boy back in the days they used to set up the pens at the bowling alley. Okay? So they said the pen boy, Al Capone, gave him $5 one time. That was a lot of money back then. That was like giving him big money. And he made a comment also about Al Capone about that he was a great guy who had a bad rap. Okay? And then there was this one old boy, he remembers Al Capone opening up a soup kitchen, and his mother and him got food there, and he helped the family. And he remarked this about Al Capone. He said, Al Capone was a good man. He took care of his own. All right, so he bumped a few people off. They deserved it. You can't hold that against him. So who are the wicked? The enemies and the foes, who are they? Pogo said, we have met the enemy and he is us. You know who Pogo is? This is an old character in the cartoons. He said, we have met the enemy and the enemy is us. That's an interesting statement. Now, first of all, you are classified as the righteousness of God. Amen. That's who you are. That's who we are. We're the righteousness of God. But do we go ahead and live out in all of the benefits of the child of God who is right with God? That's the question. Could we as children of God oppose ourselves? Do we sometimes oppose ourselves? And I just today declare that very verse that we're reading over us, that in thy light shall we see light, that we could see, that we would be illuminated to see and understand, to have a look at ourselves so that we could move forward and not oppose ourselves. Amen. But you really have to put some thought into the word wicked, because we immediately throw that out to just the most horrid, horrible person. So I decided I was going to check it out, and so I had to go to the Te'ilim. You know what the Te'ilim is? The Te'ilim is the Psalms, but they're written in Hebrew, you know, this way. They're written this way, and so it's what the Jews would read. And so I went to the Te'ilim to see if I could discover something about verses that use the word the wicked, okay? And so David is meditating concerning the wicked. Hebrew has nuances that the English don't see. So we have to look beneath the surface. Remember, we've been talking about looking beneath the surface, seeing things. And so the word the wicked, those words, actually, you have a preposition out in front, right? Everybody took English? There's a preposition out in the front? Okay. Well, in the Hebrew, this can be called a hyphostem. People usually don't know about this. It's a hyphostem. So it's from a person who is caused to do wicked things. They're not wicked, but they're caused to do wicked things. You see the difference? You need to know the difference between you being something and you doing something. Because you are the righteousness of God. You're right with God. Even if you do some things wrong, you're still right with God. You mess up, but you're right with God. Grace, grace, okay? And so these words would be about, we would use this word kind of causal. It generally expresses causative action in an active voice. So what I'm saying is that a person could be under an influence.
Right.
Yeah. Under an influence. Uh-huh. Because the enemy's talking in your head.
Yeah.
Church, he is defeated, but he's not imprisoned. So he still has one way to affect you, only one, and if you turn him down, he won't bother you. But if you take his thoughts, you're the one who empowers him.
That's right.
He's not the big bad devil and can harm you. He uses your power. His power was stripped. Men have power on earth, not spirits of any kind. And so we have to understand this. So, but you have to know who you are. You're the righteousness of God. No matter what, that's who you are. Okay. So good and bad then, good and bad could have wicked behavior. Are y'all with me? You get that? Okay. So the righteous want to avoid the temptation then of being influenced. Now, I want you to remember the scripture that I told you to grab hold of there. You can lay in your bed at night and devise evil. And that's not, I'm going to get me a gun, I'm going to go hurt somebody type of stuff. No. This could be worry, toil, plotting and planning without Holy Spirit influence. Fretting about what's going to happen to you in your future. And then it happens because you worry about it, because you had faith in it. You had faith that things were going to go down, so they went down. That's wickedness. That's wicked influence right there. But see, we don't think about it. We just think about, well, you know, as long as we don't smoke, drink, chew, get drunk, cuss people out, and don't commit fornication, we'll be all right. But worry is a serious thing. And it's destroying lives every day. Our grieving, our being stuck in a cycle where you think you can't get out of something. I can't recover. I can't recover. I can't recover. You can recover. You can recover. David had times where he got stripped of everything and he recovered every time. Afflictions come, but you don't have to live in them. But the more you lay on your bed and contemplate and continue to talk to your spouse about it and continue to talk to your neighbor about it and whoever, maybe even me, you're not doing yourself any good. When that the woman, the prophet prophesied the woman would have a child and she had a little boy, remember that? And then he died, y'all remember that? And so she was on her way to find that prophet. And what'd she say? Well, I need help right now because my, no, she said, it is well. It is well. Everything is well. And so what happened by the time she got to the anointing, boom, that child was raised from the dead. That's where we need to be. You can plot your own trouble and it'll come to pass. We don't usually call ourselves wicked for that, though. We usually don't. But I heard Brother Copeland say something one time. It stuck with me since, way back. He said the word wicked is kind of like the word twisted. It's like if you've ever had any wicker furniture, it's all twisted. And he said it was like that. It was twisted. And so that's a little easier for us to digest. It's very possible for the righteous to have twisted thinking. Now, there are the ignorant. There are people who are not very grown up in God. They haven't learned a lot yet, so they're going to have some twisted thinking. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so we're not to tear them up for it. Mm-hmm. Amen. You walk in love with people they just don't know, and some crazy things come out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you want to hear one of the best teachings about not offending people, you need to hear Keith Moore this week. He totally explained about the food that was offered to idols. He totally explained it. It was so cool, so good, and how we should walk through things like that. You know, because people were getting offended because some people ate the meat and some people didn't. They didn't understand why. He totally explained what was going on in the neighborhood. Because they would do the sacrifices, they would eat some of the meat, but they sold the rest in the market. Well, the Christians didn't care because they didn't believe in any of the gods. Right. But it was still offending those that didn't know. Yeah. But right. Just go watch him. You'll love it. It's so good. It's talking about us walking in love around people. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when you do miss all the wonderful things in the shadow of his wings and his house and the fountain, it's going to be because you're plotting your own course. And so we generally don't say that that's evil, but I want to show you something. And here's what people will say. They'll say this, and they think they got it out of the Bible. God helps those who helps themselves. Now you better watch out with that little thing there. Because the Bible says, labor therefore to enter into the rest. So you put your labor in the Word. You put your faith in God and allow Him to move you through your life. And life is so much easier than you just picking and planning and plotting and trying to work things out yourself. So let's go to, and I forgot to give this to Rachel, but we'll be all right. Isaiah 55:7. Isaiah 55:7. It says, let the wicked forsake his ways. Got it? And let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Did you get that? Let the wicked forsake his ways. In other words, if you're having some twisted thinking, let it go. Because the next line is going to tell you why. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. My thoughts are higher. What's he saying? Come on, get up here with me. Get above this. Get above this twisted thinking. Get above that you'll have to figure it out yourself. Get above that so-and-so's not doing this, and they didn't do this, and they treated me, and they're not. And get above on the God plane. Because as long as you're pointing your finger at everybody else and discussing all their stuff, you're not looking at what God can do for you. You're just saying what's not happening. Like the disciples of John the Baptist, they're like, are you him? Because you're not getting John out of prison. Why aren't you not? He said, look at what I'm doing, not what I'm not doing. If John would have looked at what Jesus was doing, he would have come out of prison. But he couldn't. He kept looking at what he's not doing. You're not letting me out. You're not letting me out. I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. I can't get it. I'm broke. I'm this. It's not changing. It's them. They do this to me. And all these things are doing nothing but building you a deeper hole, digging you a deeper hole. I'm getting sicker and sicker because I'm getting older and older. That's a lie. Your body doesn't have to break down, and if it did break down, it can heal today. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then it goes on to say there from that his words from his mouth are prosperous. They'll prosper where they go. Someone sit around, well, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll open that book. Open the book and see what he did. Because if you can see what God did, you'll see what he will do. And he is the deliverer. But instead, we want, I don't know, I can't know. You've got to start not hearing this here in this house and loving it and walking out the door and despising it and not doing it. You've got to go ahead and do it when you're laying in your bed, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're driving your car, when you're in the shower, wherever you are. You got to decide, no, I can have it. I was asking Nina what kind of car she wanted because she's just about to be driving in her car. Ba-na-na-na. But anyway, she says, well, I don't know yet. Well, that's good. She has time to choose here. But once she does, she's not going to go. I can tell you about this girl right now. She's not going to go around saying, I don't know if I'll ever get one. I don't know if I'll ever get one. Once she receives it by faith, she'll have it. Just runs in the family. Amen. Actually, she does it on her own. And I'm very God proud of that girl. But listen. You've got to do this outside of this house. We do this outside of this house, and it works for us. Does it? It's working for us. Come on up. Come on up into it. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, I don't know how we'll ever get through this lawsuit. His thoughts are higher. Well, I don't know how we'll ever pay this debt. His thoughts are higher. I mean, when we started out on this thing, we were like, how will we ever get out of debt? Our jobs were causing us to use credit cards. We're going down the other way. But we heard of a man, John Evanzini. Danny's been actually listening to John Evans, and he had a debt-free army. Remember? Y'all were little kids, but it was going. And so we got on the program, and then we got on. Lee Datesman taught us some stuff, and I know y'all know the story, but all we had to do was just take a few of the thoughts and put them to work. And then when he told us the next step, we did the next step. It's kind of just like living like this. Now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? Didn't you ask your daddy that over and over? Now what are we going to do? Now what are we? Are we there yet? Now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? But you could just do that with God. Okay, now what? Okay, you told me to pay this extra amount of money. And then what does he do next? He gives me a $100,000 job and pays the thing off. And so, guess what? Somehow, by the mercy of Almighty God, we were smart enough to not go back into debt. You know why? I'll tell you why. This is real easy. We declared we were debt-free people. So we couldn't break that. We said we were debt, so we never have. We saved money, and if we wanted to buy something, we never bought anything above what we had that we could pay things off with, you know. But we just did that all the time, and so we've been debt-free for years and years and years and this church is debt-free. Our ministry is debt-free. Our house is debt-free. Our cars are debt-free. Gabby was just telling me that it was so fun that she bought her debt-free car this week. She just bought a debt-free car. Huh? Danny and Jordan have a car outside sitting right out there. It's debt-free. Debt-free. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't have that yet. Well, his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Come on up. Just do one thing. Just start. You just start. You're like, well, I just don't know. See, you're laying on your bed wondering about it.
Oh, boy.
I don't. No, stop. You don't need to know how. You need to know him.
Amen. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good.
He is the answer. He is the payoff. He is the strife-free. He is the love. He is the family getting along. He is the relationships reconciled. He is all those things. He can do it. You can't do it. You don't even know how to forgive, but he does. And so he's put it in you. And you can make the right choices. He goes on to say that you're going to prosper there. So, you know, we can come every Sunday and we can be reminded of how good God is. But until you carry it home, until you say no to the influence and continue to plot the trail that you really don't want, it's time to stop the worry prayer. You're stewing around in the wicked stuff. So today, let's just make a quality decision. Let's just make a quality decision to come into a river whose streams make glad. Get into the current. Let me just ask you this question right here, right before we go. And most of you may not even need this question, but I need to ask it to someone who's listening. Why do you want bad things to happen to you? Why? For attention? For rebellion? To punish yourself because you feel unworthy? But the problem is you punish everyone else around you with your victim mentality. And your fretting and your selfishness. And I would say to you, wake up.
Amen.
Wake up. You only have one life here. Don't waste it another minute. Make a quality decision to honor God and move into all of his covenant love offers you. Because he's offering it right now. He's offering for you to go free. He's offering for you to have the best. The best. The too much. The best. The health. The favor. The change. He's offering that to you right now. Well, I feel like I need to struggle so I can learn something. Then you don't know Bible, so you need to back up and learn Bible. Pain does not bring change. Pain brings desire for change, but it does not bring change. Will not. Change comes from choices. You make choices, and then God will back you up all the way. I don't know. Sometimes I have this thing that happens to me where someone will call me on the phone and they'll say, "Believe with me. Can y'all put your faith with me because I'm believing for a such and such." And so we'll go through it for a minute. Well, okay. And then I'll ask this. Well, how much is it? And if they say you don't want to know, I'll shut down. I may have thought about buying it. But when they said, "I didn't want to know." Now, do we do God that way? That'll preach right there, won't it? I don't know. I guess it's just the Spirit of God in me. I'm like, okay, they don't want me to know, so I'm not helping. Could have written a check. Could have given in to it. Could have had my faith out there better for you, but you don't want me to know. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying. If you called me for agreement, I got to know something. So we're going to forsake all those evil thoughts. We're not going to have evil plans come into our lives. From this day forward, no evil plans in Jesus' name. So I want to say this over to you. Just come into the river right now. God's got you. Go ahead and let him bless you and keep you. And I'm actually going to say that over you today. Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. Let's stand. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.